Sessmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Paula Bova, News and Notes. It's Monday. Look forward to catching up with Paula. Hope you had a great Easter weekend. I found myself on Friday. I was doing some business stuff, and it was Good Friday. And I had some people that Thursday night, they said, why aren't you responding to this big media crush about the Diamondbacks and their stadium? And because it's old. I mean, Derek talked about it on this show 6-7 weeks ago. We've been talking about it for the last 4 months. It was a slow news day. People needed clicks. And, you know, both sides decided to hold a press conference. That doesn't mean that it becomes this big ordeal. There was really nothing that I saw from either side that made me change my opinion on that. We've been out in front of this story, and we're going to continue to be out in front of the story. That's that. There was some stuff over the weekend I was at the Cubs game on Friday. I went out to Sloan Park. I'd never been to Sloan Park before. Eric was telling me earlier that it's his favorite park to go to. And what a great time out there. Man, what a party place that is. Just littered with Cubs fans. The Cubs were playing the Brewers. And a friend of mine, he's very big into financial planning and all that. And he has his own business. He got a party suite. I went out there. There's some like Steve Bellis, the head football coach at Hamilton, was there. And there was some other people around the valley. It was good to just get caught up. I don't know, guys. When you get going so fast that you don't take the time just to go out and decompress and unplug. It's kind of fun going out to a spring training game. I, for the life of me, cannot figure out how it is they're getting away with $100 seats for spring training, but that's another thing. That's another story for another time. March Madness. I said earlier on the show, I'm not a fan of Syracuse. I'm just not. For some reason through the years, I don't know if it's, and you know, look, if you go to Syracuse, then you're just going to hate on me and it's fine. Knock yourself out. I'm on Twitter. It's fine. But when I'm watching Syracuse and the way that they came back, how could you help but not be impressed? At the end of the day, I'm a purist in basketball. And Jim Boeheim's zone was great. I'm not a fan of Jim Boeheim. If Jim Boeheim recruited my kid, I'd say, I don't think you should go to Syracuse. That's just me. But the way that Syracuse came back at the end of that game, and Kevin Harlan had the had a line that was controversial to some. To me, I just kind of laughed it off. It was along the lines of it's Easter Sunday and Syracuse has risen from the dead on Easter Sunday. And some people got all wound up about that. Like, you guys really have way too much time on your hands. You really do have way too. We are offended at every turn, every corner. It's fine. When I heard him say it, I just kind of laughed like, okay. And we like Kevin. We've had Kevin on the show a bunch. So Syracuse will play North Carolina, and Oklahoma will meet Villanova. You know, from a Suns point of view, I'm watching Buddy Hield, and I've seen enough of Buddy Hield now this year that I don't believe the Suns are going to get the number one pick in the draft. The odds are that they're not. They haven't stunk nearly as bad as they should. I mean, they've been really bad. They should have a top five pick. And you start looking at a guy like Buddy Hield, and you look at Devin Booker, and are they the same player at the same position? And you already have Eric Bledsoe here. So there's other players I want to get to as the show moves on today that as a Suns, I won't say a fan, as a guy that is here in town that is charged to cover the team, this player or that player in the tournament, I've watched them enough to say, I would take him if I'm picking probably around third, fourth, fifth. Because I don't think they're going to have a shot at Ben Simmons. And quite frankly, when I see Ben Simmons, I'm a bigger fan of a couple of other players than his. That's just me. We have another CTE story. In fact, we're going to hear from Bruce Arians in the next segment. Bruce Arians, John Harbaugh. We had Peter King on last week from the NFL owners meetings. And I had talked to Peter about it seemed to me that the coaches were going on the defensive about their great game of football. And I'm not going to disparage the game and say that it's not great, but and the coaches should be very passionate about it. But clearly there's a level of dysfunction at the ownership level when you have Jerry Jones saying there's not a problem, and you have John Mara saying there is a problem. So we're hearing from Bruce Arians here in a little bit on those of you that don't think that you should let your kids play the game. Bruce said their parents are fools. Now, he said it sitting at a table. I'm sure he wasn't prepped that this was coming. Bruce is always one to shoot from the hip, and we love it when Bruce shoots from the hip. We in our industry think it's great having Bruce Arians here. I like having Bruce Arians here because he can flat out coach. I've never been one of those guys. I don't get it. When there are guys in our industry that are guys and girls that are paid, there are people in our profession that are paid. Their job is to go cover a team and to be objective. And so when I hear a guy say, a reporter say, oh, this coach is great because they're so funny and they're so witty and they'll say the most outrageous things. And then you look at the team and they can't play. So Rex Ryan is like example number one when I see people in our profession falling all over themselves about how great it is to have Rex Ryan because he's funny. No, they're not paid to be funny. Like Greg Popovich, there's people in our industry, Greg Popovich is the biggest this and the biggest that. Can you see how he treated a sideline reporter? That's his thing. Can he flat out coach? The answer is yes. So Bruce, I don't care about the bluster. I don't. I really don't. Does it make it more interesting? Sure. Is it nice to see some levity and some humor? Absolutely. I'm fine with that. But if he couldn't coach, I would say, I don't want him here. Do you get that? I mean, do you people that consume your sports want to have a great quote or a coach that wins? So when Bruce goes out there and talks about what his beliefs are in defending the game of football, I don't know if there was a PR circular, if it was circled in the PR world, guys, we need to start defending our game more. I don't know if it's that Peter is so smart that he went in with the angle of, I got to start asking these coaches about their game because their game is under siege. And so John Harbaugh was as eloquent, could be the commissioner of football. He was so good. Bruce is somebody that is old school that has seen this game through the years. So he's going to have a stance of parents are fools. And we're going to hear from that. Give it some context here. We'll do that in about 10 minutes. What is it about bees here in Phoenix, Eric? What is it that every spring training we have players or we have games that are delayed by bees?
And that's the only time of year you really hear about bees.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's not, you know, December is big bee season. It's always something happens at a Cactus League game involving bees every single season.
Every year. So Jason Hayward yesterday, I felt bad for Jason Hayward. I had a nice time at Sloan Park on Friday. And then I hear yesterday, did you see any of the video of that?
I did.
Yeah.
I mean,
he
got stung and then he hit a home run. Good for him. Maybe he needs to get stung more by bees during the season.
He got stung 10 times. Okay. It wasn't just that he got stung once. So what is it about bees in the valley in spring? Is it spring has sprung and there's flowers everywhere,
correct,
so there's bees everywhere, but
correct,
how is it they manage to find their ways into ballparks? What is that all about?
Sugar.
You're right. It's not a one-time deal. Why is it they find, is it it's open grass?
It could be sugar because there are lots of sweets being sold at games.
Cotton
and when
candy.
You have, yeah.
Attracts,
I mean,
the bees.
Soda, when you have 17, 18,000 people in a stadium, and maybe not that many, but 15,000 people in a packed Cactus League stadium.
At $104 a ticket and $41
something
if you're out
like
on the
that.
Lawn.
Something.
And $5
insane.
Park the car.
Just, don't get me started on that. to watch
That's
number,
like $1 million.
To watch number
making.
87 no, pitch to number well, 53.
I watched John Lester on Friday, okay? I was telling my wife, I said, well, they actually rolled out a good lineup. And she said, what do you mean? Well, there's numbers that are lower than 30 that are out on the field.
Guys with last names on their jerseys is always a dead giveaway that they're probably going to be on the opening day roster.
It was a good lineup. But Jason Hayward is out there. He's not allergic to bees. Why is it they go after the guy that's by himself in the outfield? There's no sugar around Jason Hayward. I don't know. Was it sunscreen he had on that attracted? I don't know. But every spring we go through this. And I felt bad for him. He got stung 10 times on his face and neck. And when I saw the video of him, it wasn't like he was falling to the ground and withering in pain. He ran to the outfield fence, hung on the outfield fence. I don't know if you have a picture of it somewhere, you can find it. But he's hanging on the outfield fence. If I'm stung 10 times, I am screaming like a little girl. I am down on the ground, withering, like, ah, I've been stung. I'm not continuing to play the game of baseball. That's not what it's about, especially in a game that doesn't matter. It's, hey, Joe, get me out of here. I've got bees. I'm running to the dugout. I'm not running to center field. Could you imagine if he had like all these bees attacking him, if he ran towards one of his teammates and the teammate has to run for what? It's like having fire around a football field or a basketball court. It's something that's just different. Like fans that were there yesterday were probably wondering, it's in the second inning of the game. They're probably wondering, oh, that's kind of interesting. There's not a ball hit towards him, and yet this guy looks like he's doing helicopter moves. He's going this way, and he's going that way. Well, no, he's being stung by bees over and over and over. Quote, it started on my face, and then the back of my head over here. It's okay. It's okay. I'm not allergic. So there was that that caught my eye over the weekend. And the Cubs have had kind of a weird spring training. Jake Arrieta, one of the best in the business, said the Arizona air is the reason that he's got a blister on his pitching hand, that it's too dry out here. So he got beat up a little bit with his finger, and they're not sure about him with opening day next week. On the Diamondbacks front, so the A.J. Pollock to the disabled list to start the season, I know that we are in this narrative now that you can certainly lose a year by not playing well in April because of the wild card. A game here, a game there, and you're knocked out. I think getting A.J. Pollock right, though, for the long run this season, because I think the pitching's going to be good enough. Are they going to have enough offense? I think they're going to, but this is a concern to me. Goldschmidt hit another one yesterday. De La Rosa wasn't good. And Cole Mentor gave up a 3-run home run to Prince Fielder yesterday. They had a couple of games. Texas beat the Diamondbacks, and Colorado beat them. They have the Giants tonight. Speaking of one of those games where you look at and say, really? Kyle Drabek is going to start for the Diamondbacks. Kyle Drabek's not going to be on the Diamondbacks opening day roster. They don't want Robbie Ray to face the Giants twice in the spring. That's why he's not going to be out there. So the baseball story, though, along with the games and bees and all that stuff, let's go back over to all this stuff around the Diamondbacks moving, how this became some big deal, and why I'm just kind of looking at it saying, we know this. So we know that the Diamondbacks are wanting and have wanted for quite some time now to get their ballpark down to about 35,000. For those of you that are dead set against the Diamondbacks considering this option, this has been going on for quite some time. I mean, Derek has talked through the years about how this is too big of a building. And by the way, one thing on Derek. Eric, you should weigh in on this one too if you've got something. But Derek Hall on the front page of the Arizona Republic on Friday. I've never seen Derek, unless I'm missing something here, I've never seen Derek in the middle of a controversy. Derek is always on the front end of everything is great, and that's what a team president does. When there are things that are bad, I think it's very appropriate for the team president to weigh in on this. But I did think it was interesting that Ken Kendrick was not the one talking about this issue. Derek, you're going to go out there and you're going to have a segment of the population that's not very happy with you.
As has been the trend recently with the Diamondbacks and Ken Kendrick, he has not been nearly as in the forefront with things like this as he has in the past.
So, and he's got a lot of interests. I get it. It doesn't mean he's not interested in baseball. It's just I kind of looked at it like Ken is telling Derek, you got to go face it. It's pretty easy to do. We're rebranding. We're going Sedona Red or Evolution or Zach Greinke. But there's been very few times. I can't think of many times. I'm sure Derek would correct me on this, but I can't think of many times, if any, where he's had to go be the face of something that is wildly unpopular, wildly unpopular. And a lot of the unpopularity is just a simple standpoint of, oh, they want a new stadium and I'm not going to pay for it. Well, again, as we've talked about for the last several months. The Tribes here in town have become the power player. Understand me here. The Coyotes are playing on an arena that is named after a casino. The Suns are playing on an arena that is named after a casino. The Diamondback spring training is on a... Do you see where I'm going with this? The power of the Rez and the land that they have, they can cut land deals. So for those of you that are in that ballpark of, I'm never going to pay anything because you're taking milk off my table for a baseball team, it's knock yourselves out. So I feel as though when you go down this path of where the Diamondbacks are, you've got to look at the big picture, not just the easy Twitter, Diamondbacks want a new ballpark, and people go crazy about it. Like, being uninformed is not good on an issue like this. And I actually see their side of the street to a point, to a point. Sports360AZ.com. We'll talk with Paula Bovin about this next, news and notes, and much more as we continue on. Stay with us. Good Monday. Actually, a busy Monday tonight. The Suns play at Minnesota, and the Coyotes are home to Calgary. Coyotes have been playing much, much better. So Bruce Arians, let's get into this a little bit about defending the game of football. This was Bruce Arians at the NFL owners meetings last week, and Arians was sitting with Peter King from the Monday Morning Quarterback and talked about the virtues of the game of football.
I think it teaches more values than any other game that you play. Toughness, get up and fight. When you have things that happen in your life that aren't going to be good, if you play football, you know how to handle them. It doesn't necessarily equate in track and other things. So football...
You mean individual sports?
Individual sports and some other team sports that aren't the same because they're not as physical. And you don't grow as a man or a woman if you play the game.
Okay, so part of that to me is I agree with that to a point. I think Bruce is old school, obviously. Bear Bryant is in his blood. I get that. When he says that football does what other sports cannot do, I would disagree with that. I think lacrosse, there's a reason why lacrosse is growing in our country. I think that there is a reason why water polo is growing in our country. You would say, well, you're being ignorant, Brad, if you're comparing those sports to the NFL because they're not nearly as possible. It doesn't matter how many people sit and watch something, if it's good or not, okay? Doesn't matter. Football is just fine and has its place. But I see kids that in lacrosse in particular that's growing. Wrestling is a sport that I think has been terrific. It's individual. You do have to fight in wrestling. Water polo, you do fight. There's more fighting in that sport. There's more physical activity in that sport, and I've been following that sport now. My son plays it, than I've ever seen out of a football practice. This is a fact. You're fighting underwater. You're working against the water, and you're doing it for 2.5 hours, and you're not stopping in between plays, and you don't come off to have somebody take your place. Doesn't mean that football is bad. And any coach in Bruce's position is going to take the stance that our sport is great and does more than anything else. And there are some virtues and attributes. When you have that many players that all have to work together at the same time in synchronicity, I get it. I get it. But our country has other options. There are other sports that are coming along. They may not get as many eyeballs on a Sunday afternoon, but they get eyeballs. So the point here where Bruce goes into parents are fools, this refers to his view of parents holding their kids out. Here's a little bit more from Bruce Arians.
Our game is great. People that say, I want to let my son play it, are fools. Because there are DNA tests now. I could give your kid and tell you the chances of your child having a concussion or should they play a contact sport of any kind. So it's only $400. Go get one.
Okay, $400 to some parents is a mortgage. It's their rent. $400 to some single mom is much greater than she would ever imagine, yet she has a son or may have a daughter that is interested in playing a sport. And she hears $400, it's only $400, $400, when you say it like that to a lot of people, is it's insulting. Because they don't have $400. They're barely able to figure out how to keep their power on. They're barely able to figure out how to get their kids through school when school's asking them for this or that. So you can't just say, well, it's $400 and it's not that big of a deal. Because it is to a lot of people. In terms of, you can take a test and figure it out if they're going to have it. I don't know. I could take a driver's test. Doesn't mean I'm not going to get hit alongside out on the road. Doesn't mean if you're playing football, to bring it into further, that if you're going across the middle for a ball, a guy's not going to lead with his head because he doesn't know any better in a high school game. Freshman football, even varsity football, it's not like every kid knows what they're doing. We have talked repeatedly about how youth football, there are coaches that don't know what they're doing, and they're teaching kids because they want to be involved. God bless them for being involved. Or they may have other motives. They want to get their meat cleavers into some of these young players coming along. So I just disagree with some of what Bruce says. I think he's dead flat right, when it comes to how great football can be for some kids. You know, he talked in that, we didn't play the clip, but he talked about how there are ACL injuries in soccer, in girls' soccer. Yes, but the NFL likes to remind us how big they are and how popular they are and how wildly popular, so don't compare yourself to other sports. I have a daughter, she tore her ACL playing soccer. She's had 3 concussions playing soccer. It is a violent sport. There are other sports, but even people that are around the NFL like to tell me, why do you talk about soccer? Why do you do stuff around the soccer team in town? So on one hand, you want to just kind of make it like, why do you even pay attention to any other sport? On the other hand, you want to talk about, well, this sport has the same issues as we have. Well, you're supposedly the big almighty. Come on. I don't disagree with everything that Bruce said. I just think that there's parts of that. John Harbaugh gave a very eloquent explanation about the virtues that you can learn of playing the game of football. And Bruce talked about it in general terms. But I think if you're always around a certain sport, no matter, and I shouldn't even say that, if whatever it is that you do, you're going to say, if you've been a 30-year guy working in the coal mines, or you've been a 30-year guy on the radio, or you've been a 30-year guy in television, whatever it is, you're going to talk about how great your industry is and how everything else is messed up, how you've got it all figured out because you've been doing it for so long.
There's also a timing involved in all of this, Brad. Because, number one, a question like Peter King asked to Arians probably wouldn't be lobbed out there during the season. We're in a space now where it's after free agency, it's after the combine, right. There's like this little 3 to 4 week window before the draft, and everything, especially Arians or some of the other outspoken NFL coaches, you knew something like this would catch like wildfire, and it did, because it's just the cycle, the new cycle that is the NFL.
So what you're saying is if he gets asked this in October, he's not going to give an answer, and it's not going to be brought up because
I don't think it would be because you're in the season. They're going to be talking about X's and O's and Carson Palmer's finger and the opposing, you know, defense that the Cardinals are going to face. It's not going to be, so what's your take on kids playing, you know, Pee Wee and Pop Warner football? It's just sort of like the time to ask that stuff
is now. No, I agree with you.
Because Peter's already asked Arians and Keim all about the draft. I mean, on or off the record.
No, this is the time of year where you can go deeper on subjects. Okay. It's also the time of year where the NFL holds their breath every night because the police blotter fills up this time of year because guys have downtime. They're not staying busy.
Jalen Strong?
It happened. Yeah. Well, there's more than just Jalen Strong.
Of course. But the time in, like you said, the time is where guys are out in Scottsdale and they're hanging out with other guys and things happen.
We figured, you know, there's going to be somebody that wants to go poke a finger into Brock Osweiler's wife or Brock himself at a pizza place at 2:00 in the morning, which goes back to, I don't know, when you're at that stage, nothing good happens after like 11. So don't even go to Scottsdale anymore. And when I hear that, well, I'm just going to go live my life. anyways, I digress.
And everyone has a smartphone now, so everything is caught
everything's on video, sure. But I feel as though that while Bruce's comments are fine, and they're bombastic, that's Bruce, okay? The part about parents are fools, I don't believe that you can ever refer to how somebody brings up their kids and says, and you say to them, well, they're fools. They may not want their kids to play football because they don't have a well-paying job and they don't have good health insurance. They may have a history of seeing their kids struggle in youth sports, in working together as a team. They may be better being golfers. I don't think it's any coincidence that a lot of the lacrosse players are kids that played football and they're choosing lacrosse. I don't think there's no question lacrosse is growing. It's not the NFL. You're not going to sit on a Sunday afternoon and watch a lacrosse match. I can sit on a Sunday afternoon and watch a soccer match just as easily as the NFL. I don't get all excited for one over the other. It's all the same. So it's fine. Bruce has his opinion on it. I think he went way over when he talks about $400 as though it was very flip and the parents are fools parts. Doesn't mean he can't coach a very good football team here in Arizona. And I like having him as a coach, but I disagree with him on how he handled this. I just do. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. We can get back on the Diamondbacks and the stadium thing a little bit further coming up. Also some college football that caught my eye over the weekend as we continue on a Monday. With one other note, and I'll get over to some baseball in a second. Over the weekend, three former Raiders are going to donate their brains to CTE research in honor of the late Kenny Stabler. This was just a little note that I came across, but George Atkinson, who was a vicious, vicious hitter at safety, George Buehler and Art Toms told the San Jose Mercury News they pledged their brains to the Boston-based Concussion Legacy Foundation. I think it's getting time, Eric. We got to bring Javier Cardenas in from Barrow and... because when the NFL last week has got one owner saying it's not a big deal and Jerry Jones and another saying it is and all this stuff, it's just time to come back around and bring Javier in because he's been part of it. He met with the Republic board, I think with Michael Bidwell. And I got to get straight on some of this stuff.
If I would have given you a list of NFL owners and said, pick the one owner who doesn't believe concussions is a big deal, I bet you'd only need one choice, one chance.
Yeah. George Atkinson, who's 69, said, quote, I can't remember from yesterday to today half the time.
And if you're sad, but not surprising.
If you're a Raider fan, George Atkinson he's Lester Hayes, he's Jack Tatum. I mean, he was big time, big, big, big time. Brain disease of 90 of 94 former players that she has examined, the doctor that they said that they're going to donate their brains to, Dr. Ann McKee of the Virginia Bulkoff Brain Bank, collaboration between the Boston, Virginia, and Boston University and the Concussion Legacy Foundation. This isn't going to take down the game, I don't think. But, you know, the participation numbers and all that stuff is dropping, and guys are starting to drop out of the league earlier. And when you do have a big-name player who decides to drop out of the league, and that's going to happen, it's going to happen. You know, a guy like Calvin Johnson who walked away from the game, I don't know if it was from concussions or not, I don't know. It's a big-name player who walked away before his prime was up. So we'll just see on that. Let me go back now. The Jason Hayward, Eric and Jared were working feverishly, and they told me that they found the video of the Jason Hayward being stung by the bees, because here it is from yesterday. So he's just got to get out of there. I'm out. I've been stung 10 times. He's not acting like he's been stung 10 times. He's not acting like it. That's not how you want to go through. Is that a workman's comp case? Baseball guy out there? That was interesting. The Diamondbacks. So back on the stadium issue. I started getting this earlier. And the stadium for the team, it's... When Derek brought up the Atlanta Braves were going to open up their new ballpark next year, and their park was 2 years younger, or 2 years older, I should say, than the Diamondbacks, and that the Diamondbacks are the fourth oldest park in the National League, is what he said in the interview to us. Fourth oldest park in the National League. People are surprised when they hear that. And when they ask, well, why do they need to get smaller? Well, let me ask you this. When you have a house, if you have a house that is built and it's 5,000 square feet because you've got, I don't know, five kids, you got everything in that house and it's built and it's awesome. And the house is filled up and it's great. And you're going to crank your air conditioning bill because you want all five of your kids to be cool and comfortable along with you and the dog and everybody else in your 5,000 square foot house. But then as the years go by, one kid leaves, another kid leaves, another kid leaves, third kid leaves. Now you're just, you have this hole upstairs that there's nobody living upstairs. And you're still paying this huge amount of money and you're having a cleaning crew come in, or you're dragging yourself up there with cleaning supplies and having to clean it every night, even though there may only be two or three people that come through in a year that are in that upstairs house. Now you're the Diamondbacks ownership group. And the stadium that you came into when you purchased the franchise, or we took over the franchise really in 2004, you're not getting 50,000 or 49,000 a game now unless it's opening day or it's bobblehead night. In fact, you have all these empty seats and you're thinking maybe we should just tarp them off. Well, that looks kind of cheap and looks kind of cheesy. Your team has not been very good for long, it's been competitive, but there's been years where it's just been flat awful. A couple times it's been flat awful and nobody's coming to watch you play. Well, that's the Diamondbacks. Same analogy. Big house, need to tear it down. The cost of turning it into a single level versus just moving to a new place, it's prohibitive. I was told by not one, not two, but three people, and none of them work for the Diamondbacks. None of them are involved in the Diamondbacks ownership group, that it would cost north of $300 million for the improvements. And the number they threw around the other day was $180 million, but that did not include taking the roof off, taking the top off. So if you're at $300 million to remodel something that's 20 years old, again, I'm just asking you to think in these terms. When the team says they want to get a new facility if they don't get the improvements, I think they pretty much know they're not going to get the improvement, so they're having to go through this PR battle. And the other side of that is, I would say if the Diamondbacks were to open their books and show me or show you the Monday through Thursday attendance, Monday through Thursday attendance numbers, you would probably see that they're not very good. Now, you could say part of that is because the team hasn't been good for long stretches of time. You could say that. You could say they lost some of their branding when they changed their colors to Sedona Red and pissed off a certain amount of the population that was into a team that won a world title. I know those people, and I'm sure some of you do too, but I know those people that I'm not going to be any part of this. I think it's kind of silly, but nonetheless, it's their choice. I think you also would have to admit to me, if you were to look at where the central amount of population is in Phoenix, in Maricopa County, in 1996, 97, when they approved the site to be built, that the center of the population was about where the ballpark is, right? If you were to look at how it's all laid out with freeway infrastructure and everything, well, the center of the population and where the growth is going to occur for the next 20 years is at the 101 and the 202 Red Mountain Freeway. It is. And I don't know, if I'm running a business, I want to be right in the middle of the action. I don't want to be someplace where I've got to pay lots of money to improve something where the population isn't coming to see the games. And where if I can find a land deal, and that's the whole issue here, I get it. You don't want to pay a dime or a quarter cent tax on anything. I got it. But there's always the rental car tax. There's always land that the tribes own. And the tribes are involved in a lot of these teams. So what I'm telling you is, when you want to go further on this story, and I've written all this out, I even put the addresses down. It's up on the website, sports360az.com. Take a drive over to Scottsdale on McKellops, where the old drive-in theater used to be, right on the border of Scottsdale and Tempe. Just go over there and look at that slice of land. There's plenty of land over there. And then get on the freeway and go right past where the Cubs are currently training in Sloan Park. You look to the north and you're going to see what looks like the Grand Canyon. You're just going to see this big old hole in the ground. Now, I'm not saying that's exactly the location there at 92nd Street and the 202. It's in that vicinity. I don't think it's the whole hole in the ground. But those are two areas that I know for fact are on the radar of the organization. They will say, no, it's not. It is. I also know that if you look and talk to the people at Talking Stick, that they want to build an arena. They already have the name on the ballpark, the spring training facility, Salt River Fields. Talking Stick is already on the name of the arena the Suns play in. So if you were to go and look at Talking Stick Resort and the land that they have there, could they afford to put a stadium there? Sure, they could. Could they put an arena there? Sure, they could. And so those are the three areas that I look at. And it makes sense. If you want to get closer to people to come watch you play, then why not head further east? And when people say, well, the ballpark is just fine, I think those are people that are just creatures of habit. I'm not saying they're dumb or they're fools or any of that stuff. I'm just saying from a business standpoint, I completely get the Diamondbacks.
And don't forget, Brad, when you're talking about Chase Field and you're talking about attendance, those numbers are skewed because there's a big difference between tickets sold and butts and seats.
Right.
They may announce 25,000, but if there's only 16 or 17,000, you're not getting the parking, you're not getting the churro dog purchases, you're not getting the concession stands mm-hmm. and the team shop. So people forget about that. That's a big deal. I mean, going to a baseball game is not cheap because who goes to a baseball game and doesn't purchase anything? Very few people, unless they bring in their own bottled water and peanuts.
Well, but in fairness, I think the Diamondbacks have done a nice job of making things affordable.
Of course.
They've done a very good job of it, but...
But when you're not getting the... When those numbers
are coming.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's like, no, we have tickets, but we can just watch the game on TV. Why would we fight traffic to go down there to watch a mediocre baseball team?
So when you... When you look at the Monday through Thursday numbers,
yep,
Monday through Thursday, forget about Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They're fine there, but they're having a hard time attracting people to come down. And part of it is a product that is inferior. Like, it'll be interesting this year, Eric, to see when Greinke pitches, if there's going to be a Randy or Kurt impact at the gate. I'm sure there's going to be a Randy or Kurt impact on television. I'm sure of that. And you can make the argument with their television contract, they don't even need people to come down to the ballpark. I disagree with that. You have to have people that come down there. And so if you add it up and you say the Diamondbacks want to put their stadium at 35,000, if they want to be closer to where the bedrooms are in Arizona, in Maricopa County, they want to go east. And if they want to be at the 101, 202, it's kind of like the Rio Salado Crossing. I mean, the Cardinals facility, where they play out in Phoenix. I don't get paid by the sponsors. So where the Cardinals play, it's fine. It's beautiful. It's a great facility. Great facility. I've never had a problem with it. But if that facility had been built at the Rio Salado Crossing, it would be much better for the community.
Because the money is in the East Valley. That's just – that might be a blanket statement, but if you would poll 10 people, I bet – 8 to 9 or even all 10 would agree with me that saying there's a reason why the Coyotes want to get from the West Valley to the East Valley.
Okay, so on the Coyotes front, when they move, not if, when the Coyotes move and their facility is built on the present location of Karsten Golf Course, that's going to happen. That is going to happen. In fact, I would go as far as to say where the old baseball, where old Packard Stadium is, that corner lot of land is as valuable as any piece of property. It's my understanding it's going to be a Four Seasons or a high-end hotel at some point built right there. So if right across the street where it's presently a golf course, and it's a fine golf course, but that golf course is going to go away and it's going to make way for the new ASU facility. And the Coyotes see it the same way, Eric. You know, they completely screwed up. I've always admired Jerry Colangelo. I have always admired Jerry. Hosted his show for years and years, but we fought like cats and dogs off the air because it was just my opinion. It would have gotten old after a while that the whole thing of let's go west, let's go west, let's go west was misguided. It wasn't going to work. And I think I'm right on that. Now, the Cardinals will say, well, we've sold out every game at the stadium for the X amount of times. And we look around and we see empty seats all over the place. But regardless, they're claiming it's sold out. And it's put on great events. It's put on terrific events out there. It's not been a hindrance because you only go out there 10, 12 times a year. That's it. But if it had been built at the 101-202, and you see how the 101 and 202 is built up now, it would be terrific. Bottom line of this, I get it from the Diamondbacks' point of view. I also think where the poor stadium district folks are, they can't win competing against the tribes. They just can't. Because the land deals that are going to be put together, there's a reason why their names are all over the teams here in town. So if I'm the Diamondbacks, I try to get, and I don't know what the land deal would look like in Scottsdale. I don't know that. But I do know that if you're going to spend $300 million by the time you take the lid off the roof, and that's the other part. Well, it's $180 million. No, it's not. It's going to be much greater than that. Paula Bova News and Notes on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmat.
Paula Bovin joins us every week. News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist, my friend, the professor. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, Brad.
You're hanging in there, having one of those days, huh? Fine, fine.
Yeah, just not feeling well, and I got the final four coming up, so I'm trying to get myself into better health here in the next few days.
I see. All right, well, get better.
Thank you.
On the final four, are you looking forward to this group of teams?
I got to be honest, I love the final four, Brad. My favorite thing.
Yep.
But there is a little bit less enthusiasm on my part this year, and I guess part of it is not the lacking the West sort of representation in it. You know, it's fun if a Gonzaga gets in or if a UCLA is in there, or some Pac-12. It just makes it a little more interesting, or when there's some more local ties and things like that. So I think it'll be great teams. It'll be great games. And Syracuse, you know, barely getting into the tournament, and then here they are. I think that's a really fun story. But I do miss sort of having the West representation in it.
You know, I look at the players that are going to be in this tournament, and because I'm here in Phoenix, I just have to look at it as which one of these guys could help the Suns out. And so I don't think Buddy Hield makes sense having Booker here, but just talk about Buddy Hield a little bit in the Oklahoma-Villanova game.
Yeah, a lot of people sort of knew about him, but I mean, I talk about a coming out party. That was really interesting. And, you know, I'm not so sure I'm against the Suns getting another hot shooter just because there's such value of that in the NBA. So I don't know if that would happen. I don't think, you know, when I look at the draft order, that he'd be third. But you never know what happens with the draft. But he's entertaining to me. I mean, he's an interesting guy. So I don't know where he's going to go, but I think he's certainly got a lot of attention.
Well, when people are trying to compare him to Kobe, I think it's just because Kobe was out there watching them play.
Yeah, I don't think you want to make those comparisons for a guy who hasn't even, you know, dipped his toes in the waters of the NBA yet. That's a little bit of a stretch.
No, I agree with you that. But that's where I'm at on this. I like Johnson at Carolina. Syracuse has a good group of players. Villanova plays hard. But I think you're right in terms of there's not a team that you look at and say, boy, this is an overpowering team. I think if you went through this tournament again, a lot of these games ended up being 50-50s. And Carolina seemed to have their way last night with Notre Dame and watching that game. But I wouldn't say this is the most sexy group. How's that for a term when I'm talking about
teams? That's true. And I mean, you know, no one sort of is reflective of that more than Oklahoma, but they also have, you know, one of the most sort of nicest and decent guys around as far as coaches. So it's just kind of that, you know, I'm sure there's going to be great storylines that come out of this thing that maybe we're not even seeing yet. But you're right. You don't go into it going, oh, my God, this is going to be the greatest Final Four ever.
And of course, we have the Final Four here next year, so I'm envisioning you're working on that angle while you're down there as well, right?
Absolutely. I'm talking to people already about it, and we'll follow the committee that's doing a Phoenix one at some of their site visits this weekend. So just to get an idea of what they're looking for and how things are unfolding here in the Valley. And that may be, for us at least, one of the more interesting angles.
You wrote a column last week, and we're talking with Paula Bovin. You wrote a column about the Cardinals needing to draft a quarterback. They visited with Paxton Lynch in person at the Combine. I think you and I are lockstep in this. I don't know how well it plays with Carson Palmer if he gets a little put off by it, but he shouldn't. It's business. Are you convinced internally over there? Are you feeling internally they're going to go this direction looking at quarterback?
No, I don't. Honestly, I haven't necessarily got that vibe at all. It's just sort of my feeling because I feel like you've just got to start thinking about the future. When you look at the quarterbacks in the leagues and the ones that have been successful, there are always, yes, the Tom Brady stories. But so many more of them have been guys that have been, you know, drafted fairly high. It's usually an indication of who has the chops to play in the NFL and who doesn't. So they're, you know, they're pretty good at sort of hiding their hand as far as what they're going to do. So I can't say I've gotten the vibe that that's going to happen. I think it's, you know, and they've said it, it's certainly possible, and they have acknowledged that they need to start looking at it as a possibility. So I think this draft is going to be really intriguing as far as what they do.
On the Diamondbacks, so the media blitz that came out last week was not a surprise. I found it kind of funny because this has been brewing for, I'd say, better part of a year. What did strike me was Derek Hall being sent out to be the messenger as one. Because give me another time, Paula, where he's been right in the middle of a controversy. And as a team president, that's the job.
Right.
But Ken didn't do it. He sent Derek out to handle the business. Are you of the opinion that they should be seeking a new building?
Boy, you know, I was going to write about this weekend, but I can't get my brain around some of the nuts and bolts of this, you know, as far as sort of who's to blame and who's not, because you have two sides telling pretty strong stories. And it's hard as a fan, as many fans are, who walk into that facility and think, this thing is fine, you know? But the other reality is this is the new era of sports stadiums. Their shelf lives have just increased. What used to be 40 years is now, you know, 15 years or 20 years. And I read what you wrote about, you know, South Scottsdale, some of the possibilities for the stadium. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. That's kind of the hub of everything right now, or at least the center of everything. So they're definitely sound like they're exploring it. I don't know, you know, I can't read their hands what they're doing, but I understand putting Derek in there because I think he comes across very likable. And I think if you're going to have a representative of your team out in the middle of it, he's the guy you want to throw into the fire.
No, I agree with that. But this is a story that's going to go for years. This isn't going to be solved in 6 months. This isn't going to be solved in a year. And I haven't seen Derek in the midst of adversity on the business end. There's bad teams, okay? There's bad, like when he and Josh Burns were fighting and going back and forth with each other, I thought they were both going to get blown out. That's as close as of adversity as I've seen publicly. I'm sure there's stuff behind the scenes we don't know anything about.
Right.
But in this case, it's just how is he going to handle that? I get it from their point of view that they say $180 million. It's really $300 million because they didn't factor in the amount that's going to cost to take the roof off and put it back on. And even when Ken and Derek got involved in this, in 04, 05, 06, I was hearing stadium's too big.
Sure.
Okay. So, and is part of that because the team isn't good when they lost, 112 games in 2004, and they haven't recovered from that? Or does baseball not resonate? Or is it that the population base has gone to the far Southeast Valley and their Monday through Thursday attendance numbers aren't good and they need to get closer to the attendance? And then you have the whole thing about the Rez. I think the Rez is the power player in all this.
Absolutely, they are. I completely agree with that. And who wouldn't listen, especially because they have such a strong relationship already. And I think the things you mentioned about attendance and everything else, I mean, I think they're all true. And it's kind of created this perfect storm of attendance problems. And, you know, I don't know. It, again, I think it's so hard because I think the story is so convoluted. I think it's hard for the public to understand the realities of stadiums in America in, you know, 2016. But I wouldn't be surprised if something happens here. Like you said, it's probably going to stretch a few years, and Derek's going to be right in the middle of it. But it's not going away. And, you know, I think part of the challenge, too, is that they when they took over this team and there was change in ownership and everything else, you know, they inherited certain types of contracts that they're not happy dealing with right now. So as far as stadium and things like that. So it's really interesting.
All right. We'll get better. I'll let you go off that.
All right, Brad. All right. To talk to you.
Stay well. There's Paula Bovin. Okay. Or get well, I should say. Paula Bovin, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website. Pro college, high school, college pro. Things that we see in the sports world. We like to say we're the Sprouts and Whole Foods in a world of Walmart. Got to drive a little further. Got to reach a little higher on the brands. That's what we're all about here. Thanks for being with us.